This is All Things Considered. From NPR News, I'm Melissa Bloch.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Scientists want to better understand how chemicals in the air interact with each other to make people sick, so they're building an instrument that should help them find out. Yesterday, in our series Poisoned Places, we heard from a community in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that could benefit from information like that. People there live next to the second largest gasoline refinery in the country, and they wonder how their health may be affected by their exposure to air pollution from the plant. It's a difficult question to answer, not just a matter of measuring chemicals in the air. Today, NPR's Richard Harris tells us how this new device uses lung cells to measure health hazards in the air more directly.
Before we talk about the instrument itself, let's take a minute to lay out the problem that it is trying to solve. This story begins with a greenhouse that sits on the top of a building in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Scientists at the UNC School of Public Health use it to cook up a toxic soup.
Here, I'll show you real quick. You can see it from here.
Will Viswete is a rising star in the world of air pollution. He's trying to build the new air pollution instrument. And to do that, he makes his own dirty air. He's teamed up with a recently retired professor at the school, Harvey Jeffries.
Now, Beak, watch your head.
Yeah.
You'll find it amazingly bright because there's a lot of reflective light.
Jeffries leads us up a steep ladder from the roof of the building into the greenhouse, which is made of clear Teflon film. This is where they cook up their air pollution.
So it's filled with clean air to begin with, but then we can create any kind of atmosphere in here that simulates any place on the Earth or any place in Los Angeles, or we can try diesel cars, we can try diesel trucks.
So would you want to be up here during an experiment?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. No, no, no.
Is it because it's that toxic?
It can be, yeah.
Pipes draw exhaust from tailpipes right up to this chamber. You wouldn't want to inhale the gases right out of the tailpipe, of course, but breathing exhaust from the air turns out to be even worse.
If you put the same material in here and let it cook in the sun for a day, it becomes anywhere from 5 to 12 times more toxic.
Jeffrey suspects that sunlight triggers these particles to soak up nasty chemicals in the air. These particles, which might start off as a puff of carbon in diesel exhaust, get transformed into little packages that deliver chemicals deep into lung tissue when you inhale. Unfortunately, health officials don't take that transformation into account. Jeffrey says they assume a particle is a particle is a particle.
If you don't do this kind of chemistry, you miss what's really going on in the atmosphere.
The air from here gets piped into a laboratory directly below. Viswete says this research is challenging the conventional wisdom about particles and health. It's not simply how much of the stuff you breathe in that counts.
Not all particles are created equal. Some particles happen to be more toxic than other particles.
The health effects for particle exposure in New York are different from the health effects for particle exposures in South Carolina and in the desert or in California.
It all depends on what happened to that particle while it was circulating in the sunny air. And that's where the new instrument comes in. Viswete and Jeffries show off a machine that sucks in air from the chamber on the roof. The air blows across samples of human lung cells, which grow in small indentations in the instrument. If the air is toxic, the cells send out hormone-like distress signals that scientists can measure. And the worse the air, the more help, help signals they send out.
The advantage of using a biological sensor, it says, I'm being harmed. I don't care if you don't know that what's causing me harm, I'm being harmed. That means it draws attention, it makes you do the work and do a better job of figuring out what's going on.
And it tells you whatever's going on, watch out for that air. Jeffries and Viswete see this approach as an important departure from the way air is tested today. That involves measuring chemicals in the air and inferring health risks based on some simple assumptions. Viswete says the goal here is to build compact devices like this and sell them to scientists who can put them up all around cities to study the air.
So do you want to go down and see the commercial device?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Viswete leads us down to the basement of the building to see something you don't ordinarily find at a school of public health, a fully equipped machine shop.
Isn't this shop amazing? So they do wood, metal, everything.
So where's the gizmo?
Yeah, so you're
it's all over the place.
Glenn Walters is director of this design center. Over one shoulder, he points to a clump of electronics, which will one day supply the power to the air sensor. And he picks up a white piece of plastic about the size of a paperback book. Eventually, all the parts will fit into this frame.
Assuming that it all works the way that we expect it to, and there's been plenty of work done to assure us that it will, this will be very similar to a final production module.
Of course, this being a university, not a factory, the instrument is only being developed here.
So right now, the hope is to maybe get 2, hopefully 5 of these out of this shop, but immediately find another kind of tech shop to kind of produce these in a larger scale.
Viswete has started a company called Biodeptronics to mass produce these instruments, and he's hoping that they'll be for sale later this year. The first customers would be academics who are interested in learning more about air pollution. But Viswete's vision is that someday these biological sensors will get scattered around cities. Instead of simply telling us what chemicals are in the air, they might say more directly just how much our health is at risk. Richard Harris, NPR News.
Poisoned Places is a collaboration with the Center for Public Integrity. You can hear all of the stories in this series at npr.org.